Well, here we are again, still at the Liberty Pastors Conference, and I have had such great conversations with people at this conference. Again, it's geared for pastors. If you would like to go to libertypastors.com. It would be the most enriching, wonderful thing for your pastor. I know that it's life-changing for them. I've heard stories about how they've never thought of things the way they're being presented. They're hearing from the best experts. I just saw Dr. Malone go past the table and stop to say hi to him and his wife, Jill, because, you know, he was, I don't even know what to say about Dr. Malone, except that he's a guru, really, on all things medical, highly respected. So he's here with us. And on the issue of transgenderism, on the issue of abortion, on the issue of government, it's just power-packed, and it is fabulous. And one person that's here today is a very good friend of mine. He's been my friend for decades. It's Father Frank Pavone. Father Frank, you may recall, was actually depriest, defrocked with the Catholic Church. He's so passionate. He's still a Catholic, so I need to be careful about my words, but he's not a priest anymore in their eyes. He's so passionate about the unborn, he feels called. His story is powerful about he felt God calling him to defend unborn babies, and he started Priests for Life. He spoke this morning, and I thought it was an evangelical preacher. I can understand why Frank, he isn't evangelical about Christ. He's just Catholic. I can understand why they wanted to get rid of him. He doesn't go in the mold. And so I had a great conversation with him, an update on abortion, but really just a really lively discussion. And that's what's going to happen today. Well, and speaking of abortion, of course, preborn is in the business of preventing mothers from aborting their babies in a wonderful way. And so you're going to hear Father Frank talk about all that's happening on the abortion side. It's really inspirational. Many good things that are happening, but we're not done yet. And so I think it will inspire you really to give to Preborn. I do. And if you would like to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, sit back and relax and enjoy this really, really powerful discussion with my good friend, Father Frank Pavone, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
I'm Sandy Rios with you, coming to you from Liberty Pastors Camp. We're actually in Williamsburg, Virginia, at a beautiful resort, and there are just incredible speakers, and one of those is my good friend, Father Frank Pavone. Father Frank and I have known each other since I was in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
As President of Concerned Women for America.
That's
that was
right.
In 2001 when I went. So we go back a long way.
We sure do. The years go by fast.
And we have a lot of stories to tell, don't we, Frank?
Oh, we do.
But I have a lot of things to ask you. You know, I care very much about the abortion issue, but because I cover so many issues, I don't know everything that's going on.
Right.
And so I want to know, it would be really nice to hear from you, what President Trump and his team, whether it's Health and Human Services or by executive orders, what kinds of things he has done to advance life? Because I know there have been a lot of them, but it would be a short list if I tried to put. Well, am I putting you on the spot there?
No. Because we've been involved in a lot of this and pushing for it, and in fact telling people during the election that he would be doing a lot of these things. One of the biggest things right now is that, of course, we all saw the way he pushed so hard for the One Big Beautiful Bill, and in that bill, one of the reasons it's so beautiful is that it stops the funding of Planned Parenthood, which for so many years, over $500 million of our money as taxpayers dollars would flow into not only Planned Parenthood, but the rest of the abortion industry. And we have, as a pro-life movement, been trying to stop that for decades. Now, there's a lot of different funding streams, as you know, that go into abortion. And there are already federal laws that protect a lot of our money from being spent on abortion. But still, Planned Parenthood was being funded because they say, oh, well, we won't use this money for the abortion procedures themselves, but
for women's health.
Nevertheless.
To help these poor women coming in for medical care.
Right. If they're getting the money, then we're funding abortion. Okay. Mm-hmm. He stopped it. He signed that bill, and he knew that that was a key provision in it. There's so many good provisions in it. But that was a big pro-life victory.
Huge.
Right there. And then there were a lot of things that the Biden administration did to, I mean, it was like an obsession that more and more abortion is better and better. And he would use the levers of executive power. For example, the VA is one example. He would make abortions available at VA hospitals and other institutions. And it's like, why in the world do you think you're helping the veterans by killing their babies? So President Trump turned that off as well. He reversed what Biden was doing with that. Biden had even set up an abortion website. A government website to lead people to abortion. President Trump, right on day one, he shut that down. He also stopped funding things like, well, of course, he reinstated the Mexico City policy in its expanded version.
Keeps tax dollars from going to abortion.
Overseas. Organizations that promote abortion overseas.
Like
various
Planned
NGOs
overseas.
Like Planned Parenthood. And he stopped that. He also, you know, we see him stopping funding for so many things. UNFPA is another one, and USAID. I mean, these entities, these alphabet soup entities, they're all pro-abortion and pushing pro-abortion agendas. And so by stopping money from going to these things, he is helping the pro-life movement in big ways. On another front, besides the spending, we see him protecting, when it comes to pro-life, as it comes to any other public issue, our right to protest. He believes in freedom of speech. He believes in freedom of religion. He believes in freedom of expression. And so when he came into office, and he promised this during the campaign, when he came into office, there were pro-life people sitting in prison.
That's right. Elderly folk.
Yep.
Harmless people.
That's right. They had done no violence.
Suffered. Gosh.
They had done, and this is important for people to understand, they did no violence. What they did, they did trespass, and they'll be the first to admit that. Many of them trespassed because they were going into these abortion facilities to stop abortions. But they weren't trespassing, you know, with a gun in their hand or an axe or murderous intent. They were praying the rosary. They were singing hymns. They were giving out literature to say, we will help you and your baby. They were worshiping. I mean, this is on, you could see the videos on YouTube about how they're sitting around there singing worship songs. I know most of these people. I've prayed with them at abortion facilities around the country. These are some of the most unselfish, prayerful, faith-filled, loving people you ever want to meet. And one of them was a Holocaust survivor.
I remember. I was just going to say
Eva Edel.
That.
Oh.
Yes. Gosh.
Eve is a wonderful woman. We prayed together back in the 1990s, and she's in her mid-80s now. And President Trump said, these people should not be in jail. People have a right in America to protest peacefully, and we're going to get them out. We're going to get them out. And he got them out right away. Not only that, but the law under which a lot of these people were being punished is a law that President Bill Clinton signed called the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. And basically, it is a superfluous law. Many would say it's unconstitutional. Because if somebody is going to do any kind of harm in front of an abortion facility, physical harm to people or property, there are already state laws to deal with that. Then you don't have to add a federal law. The only purpose for that law was to intimidate pro-life activists. So President Trump has explicitly, by his executive order, said, we are not going to use this law to intimidate peaceful pro-life activism. And that was a big step. Now, of course, the bigger step we want to see is for Congress to get rid of that law altogether, because we're not in favor of violence, but this is a superfluous law, and it really is viewpoint-based totally. Discrimination.
You know, Frank, I was just thinking of, I'm thinking a lot of things. Remember the protesters on the Supreme Court steps trying to climb up the doors of the Supreme
Clawing
Court?
Clawing at the doors.
Clawing at the doors during, like animals.
During the Kavanaugh. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get arrested or put in jail.
Right.
And then I think of the, the what protesters were? The FACE Act, they've like Antifa and all of those groups, they've never, they never get put in prison. These guys were in prison, weren't they? They were just
jailed. There were a couple of dozen of them. Some of them were in prison. Some were awaiting sentencing.
Right. So it was just an unequal application of the law.
It was.
And horrible.
It was. And people like Mark Houck, a friend of mine, a pro-life activist in Philadelphia, his house gets raided by the FBI at the break of dawn.
Right.
So what is this about? And I said to Mark, and I said to many other people in other interviews, I said, they didn't do that because of Mark Houck. They did that because of us. They want to intimidate all of us from peacefully really standing up to save these babies from abortion. And it's not going to work. And President Trump is going to see to it that it doesn't work, because he's de-weaponizing the FBI, the DOJ, the entire system of government. And this is the bigger picture. Like you ask, you know, what has President Trump done for the pro-life movement? If we take a few steps back, and we say, look, the bigger picture is the radical pro-abortion ideology is a dogma of the left, right? The radical left loves abortion.
They do.
So if we take a step back and look at what President Trump is doing, he's weakening all the strongholds of the radical left. He's taking an aim at the media, and he's bringing like CBS, you know, bringing CBS into line, you know, through lawsuits and agreements, and they are agreeing, okay, we're going to abide by some rules to be a little bit more fair in our coverage. I mean, that's big. Defunding NPR and PBS, right? These are just, again, vehicles for the left to just spew their bias. What he's doing with the media, what he's doing with academia, Columbia and University of Pennsylvania and Brown University, all these universities, and he's getting them in line, and he's threatening Harvard. You know, he says, look, we're not going to fund violent protests on campus, anti-Israel sentiment, discrimination, DEI, and the transgender stuff. That was the University of Pennsylvania. He actually got them to apologize, right, to the girls who had to compete against a man.
And restore the medals, I think.
And restore the medals. They restore their honors. Yeah, and apologize. So here's the big picture. And of course, okay, so academia, media, and the deep state. Tens of thousands of firings. Why? To get out of these offices in D.C., what is essentially a fourth branch of government. Like Vivek Ramaswamy always says, you know, shouldn't the government be run by the people that we elect to run it? You know, but instead you've got these deep state operatives, right? But my point being that he's weakening all these strongholds of the left, and in so doing, he is strengthening movements like ours in the pro-life movement, strengthening and protecting the tools we need to do the work of ending abortion.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to do what I do. You know, and people will say, oh, I don't like what he said about abortion. He doesn't seem to be strong enough on it. I said, we're the ones that need to be strong on it. We'll give the pro-life speeches. We'll lay out the principles. We'll make it clear. I just need him to protect the tools, like the speech itself, the freedom of religion is a whole other area where he's done so much. He's strengthening our tools for the battle. And that is what I think the primary thing that pro-life people need to appreciate about what he's doing for our cause.
Well, I would go further and say he's actually said things that pro-life leaders have not said, like on the stage in a debate with Hillary Clinton where he described partial birth abortion. Remember that?
Yes. That was a turning point.
And you know, when you go back in his past, he was, I believe he was always pro-life. I remember hearing, maybe there was a time he wasn't, but way back in the 80s, I heard him talk about he didn't like abortion.
Yeah.
That he had a, you know, so.
That's his personality. And look at his attitude towards war right now, right?
Right,
what
exactly.
What is motivating that? It's very, very clear. He hates war.
Yeah.
And you know, he's asked questions, you know, detailed global policy questions about, you know, what are you looking for, you know, in the relationship between Russia and Ukraine? And he's really very simple. He says, I want the killing to stop.
Yes. That's true.
He's a man who he loves life. He hates violence.
You know, a couple of things occur to me. You mentioned abortion being what the sacrament. I mean, really, it is it's the thing that the left loves most.
They do.
And it reminds me very much of there was an issue in D.C. I won't go into all of this. Let's just say someone who was with the Muslim Brotherhood, which we fought. We're still fighting back the Muslim Brotherhood. And he was on tape saying, we love death more than they love life.
I remember that.
You remember that?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's exactly what they have in common with the left. They
yes.
love death more than they love life.
That's
they
right.
don't care about people getting killed or hurt on the streets, or they don't care about any of that. But they love the killing of babies.
When fascism was coming strong in Spain under Franco, right? And remember, there was this story about Unamuno, the president of the University of Salamanca, and there was a commencement address there, a ceremony, and one of Franco's generals made a speech. And in the midst of the speech, he started chanting, and he got the students chanting, "Viva la muerte! Viva la muerte!
Long
live death!"
And
Unamuno got up, and he was so offended by this, and he says. You may win with that. That's an absurdity, first of all. He says, but if you win, you will still not convince. That is so contrary to what's in the human heart. To say viva la muerte makes no sense. And that's where it's an echo of what we see now in this whole culture of abortion. It's totally irrational. And the lust that the left has, as we were giving a couple of examples with Biden, for more and more and more abortion, it's like,
and
why,
less and less
why,
and less
why?
Restrictions. It's just,
yeah,
it is sick.
Why?
I know. And you know one thing that really shocks me? You know that they've had the pro-abort left has had a resurgence of strength, especially in young people, which really surprised me. And they've gotten even more like share your abortion, or I'm proud of
you. Oh, yeah,
they
shout
do that.
Your abortion.
Shout
yes,
your abortion.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think kids are, and then these protests that were, now I don't know if that's kind of faded, because I'm talking a few years ago.
Yes.
Where they were attacking pro-life students who were trying to demonstrate, not just having materials or handing
in
stuff out.
At campuses, yes.
Yes, and the students, especially the women, were so whipped into a frenzy.
Yes.
What was that all about, Frank? And why? I mean, they must have done a special targeting of college-age women during that time.
Yes, that's right. Well, some of this is part of this overall desire to disrupt. And it's because of the forces of communism trying to take over America are, the saying there is, the issue is never the issue, right? They just want to disrupt society. So, you get these protesters coming in, they'll disrupt things on campus, and one day they'll be speaking, in favor of abortion, the next day they'll be speaking in favor of George Floyd, next day they'll speak in favor of Palestine. And, you really try to dig deep with some of these protesters. Well, what is it that you're for? And they can't answer,
they don't even know. Yeah.
Right? They don't even know. Why don't they know? Because these people, it's not the issue is not the issue. They just are there to cause disruption. So that's part of it. But with the pro-abortion, the ones who are really in, we see the most violent reactions when we use our most effective tools. And two of those tools are what we were just saying. This Shout Your Abortion campaign was in very much a response to the campaign that we have had over the years, Silent No More.
Silent No More.
So Janet,
women talk about their
abortions.
They did it every year at the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
On the March
for Life. We still do that, and we do it in various other places. And Janet Moran is our executive director at Priests for Life, so she co-founded that campaign. And it's beautiful, and it's so powerful, because it's like the other side has been saying, well, listen to the voices of women. And it's like, how can you say that and then ignore the voices of women who are saying, I regret my abortion?
Right.
So there's that. And so the left goes crazy about that. And so they'll try to, we have those people come on campuses too. And they'll try to, shut down those voices because they know how harmful it is to their cause. The other thing that's very harmful to their cause, and then you see them react violently on campuses about this, when we bring the pictures of aborted babies.
Yes. Shadows of Joy Scheidler
yes.
come to my mind.
That's right.
Joe is such a good friend of mine.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. And he always believed in this.
Yes. And that's what he did. He took those pictures out, and it was shocking, and people hated it. Even pro-life people hated those pictures.
Well, even pro-life people, and they need to stop and think, too, I've had many discussions on this, of course, among our colleagues, and I say, look, it's not a matter of our preferences or whether we like it, or it's nothing to do with that. The key question is this: are there principles of social reform that we can learn from history? Are there things that other movements have successfully done to defend victims who were hidden, you know, in the shadows? And the answer is yes. I mean, civil rights, Alveda King, you know, is our mutual friend, has been part of our ministry for a long time. And she points out, you know, this is what they did in the fight against segregation. They exposed it. Mm. Emmett Till, the young boy who was violently murdered, his mom said, I want an open casket because I want people to see what they did to my boy. And the violence against the civil rights demonstrators, just like the violence against the pro-life activists, needs to be exposed. And that's why the other side hates when we bring those realities forward.
Let me ask you one more thing on abortion, and then I'm going to pivot to something else before we say goodbye. HHS, of course, is headed by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, the last I was up to snuff on this, he in the past has been very pro-choice. But I think he's had kind of a change of heart. And I can't, I've been told that. I haven't seen it firsthand. But HHS is doing some great stuff, too. Are they not on the issue of life?
Health
and Human Services, I'm
Health
talking
and Human
about.
Let's... Department of Health and Human Services is very important on this issue. And I think that what he's doing, first of all, I agree. I believe everything I've heard, seen, you know, from him and from those who work closely with him is that he is mostly with us on this issue. But even more importantly than how committed he might be to pro-life, which I do think is much more than we've seen in the past or thought in the past, is his objectivity. Here's the point I often make. This MAHA movement, okay, that he has, I think, wonderfully...
Make America healthy
again. Wonderful. And he is committed to getting an answer to this question. Why is America so unhealthy? Now, there's many dimensions to the answer to that, right? But if we follow that question with objectivity and let the evidence lead wherever it will lead, we are going to find that a big part of the answer to that question is abortion. Going back to Silent
True.
No More, well, it's physiological damage, emotional damage, relational damage.
Father Frank, remember when we used to talk about the abortion breast cancer links?
Yes.
Yes, and I still think that's a very, very huge, it's
very,
unlikely it's really true.
Very valid,
yeah,
very valid.
I think so too. But we're not allowed to talk about it.
No. But this is the point is this might be something that the pro-abortion movement is more afraid of than bans on abortion and legislation, because
right.
If you start really shining a light, because what we need in the position where RFK Jr. is not necessarily, you know, a pro-life advocate like we are. What we need is someone who's going to be objective enough to stop what we've been seeing the last five decades, which is what? It's what we call the abortion distortion. That all the rules apply except when it comes to abortion, and if you're going to look at what affects women's health, well, don't say a bad word about abortion. Well, if you're committed not to say a bad word about abortion, how are you going to get to the truth of how it impacts women's health? And I don't think RFK Jr. is going to go along with the abortion distortion. And that's all we need. That's all we need.
That's really good.
Let the truth lead where it will lead.
Yeah, on the abortion breast cancer link, I remember I debated that on television a lot at the time. And it made a lot of sense because basically it was that, for all of you women listening to me, you know that when you're getting ready to have a baby, when you get pregnant, your estrogen level just rises exponentially.
Exactly.
That's why your, excuse me, Father Frank, that's why your breasts expand.
Yeah.
That's what helps the production of milk and all of that.
Yeah.
So when you go through an abortion, it cuts off suddenly.
Precisely.
What would naturally happen, and that's that the estrogen level would go down, the baby would nurse, and you would go back to normal levels. So it cuts that off, which means that you're left with a huge level of estrogen, which is what often causes breast cancer.
It leaves the cells in an unstable state, so to speak, that make it more likely for them to become precancerous.
And
cells.
So now let's just talk common sense.
Yeah.
We have exponential amounts of abortion.
Right.
Women are having abortions like crazy, more now that Roe versus Wade was overturned. And we have exponential now amounts of breast cancer.
Right. Why?
So wonder why.
Why?
I'm sorry, I'm all in for that.
No, and it's always...
And actually, what I was going to say, that went a long way about that, but they removed that information from the cancer It must have been HHS Health website. I remember when they took it down.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even talk about it, the abortion breast cancer connection.
You know, one of the things we do at Priests for Life is that we host meetings of the pro-life leaders and the pro-life researchers. And Dr. Joel Brind and Dr. Angela Lanfranchi.
Gosh, I've forgotten their names.
They were the two main spokespersons, if you will, for the kind of research you just talked about. And they're still at it. You know, we had them at our headquarters just recently. And they and the other great researchers, like Dr. Priscilla Coleman and Dr. Psychiatrist Dr. Martha Schuping, these people have researched the negative impact of health impact of abortion. And they will keep telling us, we do these peer-reviewed studies, indisputable methodology, and yet they don't get published, not because of any scientific reason, but because purely of political bias in favor of abortion. That's what's got to end. In fact, maybe President Trump could take aim at that and say, listen, if you're a research agency of some kind that publishes research, no federal money if you're going to show bias in favor of abortion, instead of bias in favor of the truth.
And then also they have to outlaw the French abortion pill. Are you 46 pills?
What damage it does. Yeah.
Horrible. And we don't need to go into that because I talk about that a lot on the air. But they've got to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's anything going on in HHS? Any studies on that?
Yes.
Or any?
Yeah. Yes. They are looking at that, the health impacts of that as well. Yes.
Okay, great. All right. I can't let you go without talking about this. You and I spoke about it privately a little bit ago. You have a new pope, Pope Leo. And
yes.
And so I've been real concerned. Now, he's from my hometown, Chicago, and I should feel really good about it. But and I know that he was really close to the last pope, right, which was a kind of a warning sign to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been very concerned of what he said about Israel. I mean, he actually lied about the IDF attacking a Christian church, a Catholic church in Gaza. That wasn't true.
Yeah.
And he just doubled down on it. That's very disappointing to me. So you are a faithful Catholic. I respect and honor you so much. I just want to know what you think about that.
Yeah, I think, that was terrible. And, you know, in fact, I put a comment on, he does use social media. He's got some accounts on there. And so I put a comment on, you know, one of these posts was something like, you know, talking about Israel, talking about, Israel. So, we have to pray for peace. And I said in my comment, I said, you know, it's not enough just to say pray for peace. You have to pray for justice. In other words, peace is lost if somebody's rights are violated or their lives are attacked and there's no defense. Then you have to mount a defense. And now sometimes mounting a defense takes you're in the unfortunate position of you have to attack back, not as an aggressor, but as someone defending. So it's like we jump over a very important consideration when we just say, oh, stop the fighting. That's what it often sounds like coming from the Pope. Or just, hey, everybody, stop fighting.
Right.
I'm not going to stop fighting if stopping fighting means this person is going to get killed over here. Because the aggressor isn't interested in reason. Hamas and the terrorists, they're not interested in dialogue. You can't just say, hey, everybody, just get together and talk. You know what? We tried that. And what if they prove themselves that they're not? So Israel is whenever they're painted as, oh, you guys have to stop being bad boys, you know. I says, this is outrageous. Like, can't we just start with looking not only at the facts about what's going on now, but the historical context
exactly
in which this all arises.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, someone just sent me a beautiful picture of Pope John Paul at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And have you seen that?
Yes.
It's going around now. I don't know. But he just was, just his whole posture was one of such humility and prayer. And he inserted, you know, as you do at the Wailing Wall, you can if you want, insert a written prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that his prayer was, I don't know how they got it, but they said that his prayer was, Lord, forgive us, forgive Christians for being so, I don't know what the words were, being so hard on the Jews. And because we recognize that it's through them that we God, our Savior, word is exposed to you, and so forgive us for our sins toward them.
We have to realize that it's us, the Jewish, the law, the prophets, the scriptures, this is part of our spiritual DNA.
Absolutely.
As Christians. This
yes.
is the when we hold up the Bible, when we hold up the Word of God in Christian churches all over the world, we're holding up also the Hebrew Scriptures. It's part of us. And so it's like, yes, we want to proclaim Christ to all the world, but God hasn't abandoned His chosen people, and we're branched together. We're just it's our
DNA. We're grafted in. We're not even the original plant. So
right.
You know, I wish that could be sorted out. And you know what?
Yeah.
You certainly know that we have enough problems with our doctrine in the evangelical churches now. We've kind of gotten off the reservation on this. And I'm not saying that we support the nation of Israel no matter what they do. But I'm saying that we support the Jewish people, and we support, we don't go after or attack Israel. We might try to prevent them from doing things that we don't think they should do. But we, you know, God is pretty clear. Those promises He gave many, many centuries ago, and He never changes, you know. His
yes.
promises remain forever.
Yes.
And they are brother, sister, and our Lord is a Jew. For heaven's sakes, the one that we worship.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus
right.
is a Jew.
That's right.
So we have to be honest, and I agree with you. Justice, God's justice.
Yeah.
God's justice.
Yeah. So defending the rights of people.
Exactly.
Keeping people safe and secure
exactly.
and stopping terrorism. I say to those who, again, will pray for peace. Yeah, pray for an end to terrorism. Pray that the terrorists be stopped.
Right.
That's a good prayer here
yeah.
to in this whole situation.
Yeah. Well, there's so much more to say about that. Maybe we can do another interview on the whole notion of, you know, reaching out to Islam, reaching
yes.
out to Islamists and all of that. And also that there's only one way to God. Jesus was pretty
Jesus
clear.
Christ, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
No so, other name given, right?
No other name under heaven given on earth, yeah. Okay, Father Frank, thank you. Priest for Life, anything else, that just practically speaking, you want to tell me about where they could find?
Please, yes. Pro-Life Central is our website, .org, Pro-Life Central. Because we're a family of ministries, they'll see all the different branches of our work there. And then they can follow me on social media at FR Frank Pavone on all the major platforms. FR Frank Pavone.
Very good. Okay, FR Frank Pavone. I'm going to start calling you then.
Yeah, right.
It's so nice to see you. God bless you.
Like, thanks, Sandy. Okay, God bless you, too.
God willing, we'll talk again soon. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe v. Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly 1 in 5 pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this, and you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I told you it was going to be good, and Father Frank is just a national treasure, and he's really paid a great price for his commitment to life, and mostly, though, his commitment to the gospel, just unapologetic about what the Bible says about things and what God, you know, he's just biblically powerful on the issues, and I'm so grateful to him. And so if you enjoyed it, I hope so. I want to say that you can support us by helping Preborn. You know that you can go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Also, Tim Plan. Timothy Plan is a sponsor, and they help you guide you in investing your money in things that are not entities, corporations, companies that are not anti-biblical. And if you want to know more about it, you can call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN, or you can go to timothyplan.com. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.